going back to Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to see if we can get it
wrapped up this week. Amen. If not, we're going to have to go 3 weeks on one verse. No, I think we're going to be there. If you didn't get it, there's some others back there. It's really the same one. I filled in the blanks and put them on the ones that you have there, the new one. But if you've already filled them in, you're good. Does anybody need one of those? Anybody need one? Everybody got what they need? If you got two, two is okay. We got plenty there. So Proverbs 24, verse 10. The Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Okay, I want to just go through this. We're going to start just a little quick review. But number one, showing your strength. So in the context of this proverb, the strength is representative of our faith, right? You see, it's talking about the faith, the strength of our faith. So he says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small, thy faith is small, is what he's talking about. So how much faith we have can be very difficult to quantify. Talked about that last week. It's hard to put a quantity, little or big or small or large. I got large faith, right? You know what I mean? What is that? I got strong faith. I don't know. But the Bible uses these words. So the Bible uses these weak faith and little faith, right? And weak faith. So if the Bible uses it, there is a way to quantify it. It just can be difficult. So when we speak of our faith, we do speak of our faith. We speak of it to others. Oh, yeah, I've got a great faith. You rarely hear people say, yeah, I don't really have, I just got a little bit of faith. You almost never hear somebody talk like that. It's almost always, oh, I've got a lot of faith, right? You hear people say that? Like, when was the last time you went to church? Well, I don't, but I got a lot of faith. Yeah, I really, really, you know what I'm saying? You've heard people say stuff like that? I hear that all the time. People that want nothing to do with God, but they talk about their faith, right? But the strength of our faith isn't really known until the day of adversity. When the day of adversity comes, then we'll know. And so adversity will come. Adversity is the trouble that comes to our life. Trouble will come, and sometimes it comes often. I like to think of it, God brings a test to us, right? And when God brings the test to us, the test isn't for God to see what we know or for God to check. God isn't checking our faith with the test. So what does a test reveal? So if you're in school, a test reveals what? What you've learned. Exactly. A test reveals what you learned. Who does it reveal it to? Well, it reveals it to the teacher. It gets on your report card or, you know, your grades. It reveals it. But a lot of times it also reveals it to you. Now, I know this. Have you ever done that? You went to take, y'all, any of y'all remember taking tests? Yeah. Some of y'all are further away from it than others, you know. So remember, you go to take a test, you're like, oh, I know this material. And then you sit down, you look at it, and you're like, right? And you draw a blank. You're like, man. And so you thought you knew it, but you didn't. So when God gives us a test, allows adversity to come, brings trials. Does God bring trials to our life? You better believe it, He does. God cares that much about us. Not to just say, well, I just want to keep everything from them so they live like in a bubble. No. God allows some things, but He does. And He's not testing to see what's in our heart because He knows He's giving us a test to reveal to us so that we can see what's there. And so it might present itself in many different forms and intensities, as small as catching a red light when you're in a hurry. I talked about this to a more substantial of a sickness that caused us to miss work and lose pay. So the adversity gets a little bit more intense at times to much larger things in life as life-threatening illnesses. I think about this with Joel and Tommy. I mean, wow, just to, you know, life can be super. You ever like have your next, you know, weeks, years, months planned out? You're thinking about what's going on. You got this, you know, and next thing you know, you're in the hospital and with overwhelming things. I think about us spending that time with Tracy in the hospital and all this, and it was just, well, this is going to be nothing. This is just a thing, a little thing, we're going to get over this. And then it went worse and worse and worse to the point that you're like, wow, God, you're going to have to do something. And God said, this is what I'm doing. And life gets turned upside down, right? What do we do when our life gets turned upside down? People sometimes lose their faith behind sickness and death. Some people lose their faith behind death, right? There's these two twin ladies I met. Twin ladies, they were, I think they were either in their late 60s or early 70s. They lived together. And neither one of them had been married, and they were a little bit. Anyway, that was. We came knocking on the door, and they came. And so, we just went door to door, knocked on the door. They came to church a couple times. They came to our Seasoned Saints ministry. They came to different things. And one day, I went and sat down, and talked to her. She said, "You know, I'm just trying to. Just ever since my mom died, it's just, I just can't get over it." I'm like, "No, I know that's tough. You know." And I said, "You know, when did that happen?" And she's telling me, "It was like 21 years ago." I know mom dying is a big deal, but wow, 21 years. I mean, at what point? By the way, you're always going to miss mom. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But that it now has affected your life and what you could do. So adversity kind of begins to, it reveals some of those things. And so, look here, see, so when your faith faints, so this word faint here doesn't mean to pass out. The idea is to sink down, to drop out, and to show oneself slack. The word there in Proverbs 18:9 is slothful. It's just didn't do what we ought to have done, didn't do the sense of not doing what we ought to have done. So this thing of faint, it doesn't mean sin. It means when I should have trusted God, I should have had this. Let me say it this way, because if I say if to not trust God is sin, you know, for him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay, but it's this thing where God, we should have had the strength to do it, but we don't, and God uses us, and so we fail and. And faint and not give the effort and be slothful. So number two, when we faint in the moment or in the day of adversity, it reveals the strength of our faith. Should you or I falter, come up short, or otherwise slack, it reveals that our strength is small. Okay, which means narrow. Let's get down here. I'm already spending too much time. Number two, Roman numeral two, fainting isn't failure, but it can be. It can be failure. There are plenty of people, and I talked about this, what you can do just because you can't bench press 250 pounds doesn't mean that you're a failure. It just means you're not there in that thing yet. So fainting in faith demonstrates to us the actual weakness of our faith. We need that, folks, because you know what? We're not good judges of that. We all think we have pretty good faith, right? I mean, I'm just saying, you know, yeah, no, I'm trusting God. I trust God. Wouldn't we all say that? I trust God. How many here would say, well, I'm not really trusting God as much as I should. We don't, even if we think that, we wouldn't say that, because if I said that, then I should be doing something about it, and I don't want to do something about it. That's why I'm not doing it. Right? So we need something to kind of reveal that to us. And so God doesn't want us to remain in ignorance, thinking that we're all in great shape. He doesn't want us to do that. So he allows these opportunities of adversity to come. Though it's trouble, it reveals the weakness that's in us. Okay, number two, therefore, fainting when we face adversity isn't failure. If you fail because God's revealing to you, hey, you're not where you think you are, that's not a failure. Y'all with me on that? I talked about this last week, but I want to make sure, if you fail in what you don't know, let me rephrase that. If you can't do what you don't know, it's not your failure. It's you don't know how to do it. If there's a job, if you have somebody, you don't go up and choose somebody out for not doing the job they didn't know they weren't supposed to do. Right? You get chewed out for not doing what you knew you were supposed to do. Right? That's where you get some slack. But God wants us to, but somehow we have to get to a place that says, I've got to learn what I don't know yet. And that takes a little pressure. Right? Got to be squeezed, pressed down, shaken up. Right? God's got to do something in your life. How many are saying, God, would you do something in my life right now to show me where I lack? I hope you would. This isn't like patience. It isn't like patience. God, bring me trouble, you know. But God, put some pressure on me so that I can grow. We ought to want to grow. We ought to want to grow, right? Anybody here ever go to the gym? Like, yeah, one time back in, you know. You don't go to the gym and say, you know, I want to just start lifting weights but not grow any muscle. Nobody does that. Remember, I think I talked about this before. You know, you get these. Going to the gym is funny. You get these little scrawny guys. They're lifting weight, and then they'll go up there and like, you know, and then they'll lift some more. And they, you know, they're like, they want to. They think it like packs on right there. But you wouldn't want to go to the gym week after week after week after week, day after day, and then come up and not build any muscle, would you? You'd say that would seem like a waste of time. So why would we then want to hear the Word of God, pray, spend time in the Word of God, and not grow anything by it, right? We ought to want to do this. So none of us just have great strength. Okay, we all begin our life. Okay, B. Whew. All right, we're on B. Y'all ready? How does our strength increase? We started there, I think. Three things are needed. Three things are needed to have our strength increased. A, first is what? Knowledge. Knowledge, that's the blank. We've talked about this much in recent weeks in Proverbs. We've talked about this. We've got to have knowledge. You can't. So I want to represent knowledge with this big old book. This is the Interpreter's One Volume Commentary on the Bible. That is heavy. That is a book of knowledge, right? There's some knowledge right here. And I want to let this book, this is going to represent knowledge. There's some knowledge in there, okay? The only place to get the kind of knowledge that we're talking about is through the actual words of God. Amen? Okay, listen, knowledge is exclusive. It's not inclusive. Well, you know, hey, I learned this, that, the other. Hey, there's some other things in life that you learn. Amen. We got jobs. We got, you know, how to do your finances, do that. And there's some of those ideas in the Word of God. But the thing is, with what God is trying to do with knowledge, what God's trying to do in your life, you're only going to get this knowledge from what He says. Not what He says plus my logic. Right? I've talked about this so much, I feel like I'm just a broken record on that. But y'all got that? Okay. So, second thing. B. Second is by understanding. Okay? Understanding. Understanding what the knowledge is giving us. Okay? So, I want to represent knowledge by this really cool lamp with three deer feet. Okay? Knowledge. Boing, right? Don't we kind of think of the light bulb as knowledge, right? So, I'm sorry, now knowledge, now we got understanding. Wow, okay, now I understand it. Knowledge without understanding might as well be a closed, dusty book that is only referenced in title. Right? Is it blinding you? Good. That's the way, the light of the Word, right? Amen. So, listen, understanding ought to... So listen, if we have knowledge... This is a pretty good bulb, isn't it? So if we have knowledge, no understanding, what we have is a book, a dusty book. So sometimes we want to talk about our faith, and I get this a lot. I've got this talked to a lot of people based on how much I read the Bible. I read the Bible all the time. Well, tell me about your relationship with God. I read the Bible all the time. That's so okay. So you're telling me you're grabbing a bunch of knowledge. Okay, is that good? Amen. Amen. Is that the end? It's just barely. It's getting in the race. Okay, but you got to brighten it up. Okay, I'm not going to leave it on too long. Man, that's super bright, and that's awesome. Okay, so without understanding, all we have is just a dusty book that's only referenced in title. It's like a book that is preserved in its wrapper. See what I got here? I got a Scofield, the old Scofield Study Bible, KJV, red letter. Whew, this is, matter of fact, that's what I use. Not this big one, but I use the old Scofield. I don't really use the Scofield notes, but it's what I've had since I got saved. I've got this. And so, man, this is awesome. You know what this one right here will do for you? It will hold papers flat. No, it will. It'll keep them from blowing away if a wind's coming by. I mean, it's super helpful. Super helpful. If you put it on your head, you can walk around and teach you some balance, right? But it's in a wrapper, right? So this in a wrapper is really what we have when we have knowledge without understanding. You might as well, that's really what you have. And by the way, folks, I'm talking to all of us here tonight, you and I and all of us together. Don't let us get on our high horse because, yeah, I get in my Bible. I read my Bible all the time. Whoop-de-doo. Can I say that to you? He's like, Pastor, you're not supposed to say stuff like that about reading the Bible. Whoop-de-doo. If all you do is read it, but you don't get to the place of understanding it, you might as well left it in the wrapper. You say, well, isn't it better to read it and not understand and read it? Yeah, probably. Okay, I'm just kind of giving a concept here a little bit. If all we do is read it, but we don't understand, I'm telling you as a pastor, what encourages me, I'm going to just tell you folks, y'all are going to find out how to encourage me right here, right? What encourages me is when people come and ask me questions about the Bible. You know why? Why would that encourage me? Because it tells me you've been reading it and you want to understand it. What really kind of, I don't know if I want to say discourages me, because it probably it's kind of not something, it's passive in this sense. But when people never ask questions and never sit around and talk about what they've been reading, it says a couple things. Either number one, they're not reading it, or they're reading it without any intent to understand it. Reading it like a list, because I did my reading. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like that in your Bible reading? I did it. And then you feel like a piece of dirt if you didn't do it. And so, like, I'm just at least going to do it. But I got through it, but I had no other than to just say I did it. It's not much better than leaving it in the wrapper. So what we get here is we've got to get to the place of understanding. We're talking about how to strengthen, have an increase of our strength, of our faith. Without understanding, we only reference the Bible. And I don't mean like a Bible reference of a passage. I mean we reference it as the good old KJV. Yeah, that's what we use. But only as some holy document that has no real weight. For so many years, I've heard people talk about this, and I didn't understand it. I'll be quite honest with you. I've heard people talk about this thing I'm going to say. I've heard people talk about it for years, and I never really understood it until recently. And they would say, you people worship the Bible. I always thought, what's wrong with that? Sounds like a pretty good thing, doesn't it? And they always say it derogatory. And I always remember, they'd say, you King James people, you just worship the Bible. And I think, I could never figure out why is that like, ouch? Like, I don't know how that's supposed to be an insult. Like, you're really good looking. Okay, you know what I'm saying? It's weird. It's a weird insult. Like, you people worship the Bible. I thought that's, and I didn't really understand that really fully what they meant until a little bit later on. I'm going to tell you more recent, in more recent days of my life, my ministry. I came upon this couple, and I went to visit them. And I was talking to them, and they said, and they're the ones that really, I'm telling you, they kind of put it all together and like, you know what they did for me in that instance? It turned on the light for me. That's what people are talking about. So I'm talking to them, and I'm talking about them coming to church. They said, yeah, we're just not going to come to church there anymore. I said, you know, why not? Well, we're just, you know, you ever ask them why they're not going to come to church anymore? They don't really have an answer, but they try to give, like, they begin to give a lot of answers. Well, there's just this other thing, stuff, and they never really give a full, like, sentence answer. And by the time you're like, what? And then this couple, they said, you know, here's the thing, Pastor. You know, I work a lot, you know, and he said, you know, and then she works a lot. We don't really get to make it to church that often anyway. I said, well, okay, you know, if that's, you know, that's their life. So, you know, I'm working most times, you know, and so we just don't get to church that often, maybe once a month. This, I thought, okay, you know, he said, well, you know, whatever, I'm not, you know, trying to wrangle somebody in. I don't want people I've got to hogtie to keep them in church, right? So then we get talking, and this couple started talking about how important the King James Bible was to them. This, oh, the King James Bible, we just got it, it's pure, it's got to keep it safe, we're going to keep it this and this. And I don't know that I would disagree with any of the things he was saying, but I was dumbfounded. It's the first time in my life, maybe I come to my, and I thought, wow, they just said, worshiping the Lord, coming to what he says to the body, to praise him, to exhort one another, to receive the word of God. That's not important in my life. But this book in a wrapper is, that I can reference this thing in my, you know what I realized? I thought, I thought, wow, you could actually be a really proud person of knowledge without any knowledge and just talk about how great the Bible is without any understanding into, oh yeah, I believe the Bible. The Bible, it's just like somebody saying, oh yeah, I have great faith. It's the same exact thing. They're saying, oh, I just, man, it's so important to me. It's so important to me, but I'm not actually going to live it. I'm not even going to try to understand it. And I thought, wow, without understanding, any reference that we make to this Bible is a closed book. It will not have any value, any effect, any change. It will not preserve, nor will it save. If I try to tell somebody how great God is and how important the Bible is, and this is God's Word, and somebody says something, you've talked to people that said, well, you know, can you show me that where that's in the Bible? Well, I don't know, but it's in there somewhere. Right? You talk to people, say that. It's like it has no value because all I did was get some knowledge, but I don't even understand that knowledge. You know, what it takes is some understanding, which C takes us to the third thing, which is wisdom. Wisdom is the third thing, which we're in the book of wisdom, Proverbs, which is the use of that which we have understood. So, I want to represent the use toolbox, right? Like, why a toolbox? I don't know. I was just trying to think of something that you use, right? Okay. Just want to have some kind of visual thing here because I don't do that very often, so that would be fun. Okay. So I want to write down a list of truths that I think are very important. You know, like our statement of faith, articles of faith. Maybe I want to write them all down, and I have this list, right? And you say, what do you believe? Well, you can go to our church doctrinal statement to find out what I believe. I had a friend that's a preacher one day. He said to me, he said, brother, he said, I know what I believe. He said, I went to Bible college. I know what I believe. He said, but I couldn't show somebody in the Word of God what I believe. This is somebody that went to Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. He said, I know what, you know what he learned? He learned the list. He learned the list. Didn't really get to understand it. Certainly didn't turn into wisdom. Wisdom is not a list of truths. It's not a clipboard or not a list that has a list of truths. That's not what wisdom is. Nor is it simply a catalog of things I understand about the truth. Well, I know this, I know this. No. Instead, it's the actual practical use of what God has given me. That's what wisdom is. It's the practical use. To get out some tools. I mean, I did show the men Sunday, I pulled out a hammer and used it backwards and said, you know, this is how you use it. You know, the thing is, you get there, you're like, no, it's the using it like it's meant to. You know, a lot of times we'll take the Bible out of context to favor us, right? We'll use it to favor us. And so what that is, it's sometimes it's taking some knowledge without understanding and trying to do something with it, right? Wisdom is knowing. You got to go through this process. You see what I'm saying? And so it's the actual practical use. So number two, back to the question of how our strength increases. Look at chapter 24 again in verse 4. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Knowledge, over here, knowledge will fill up the chambers of our mind. Knowledge will fill up the chambers of our mind. Can I say, that's a wonderful thing. And I'm almost, the way I'm doing this, I'm almost making knowledge a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. There becomes an increase. We're talking about how to increase your strength. There becomes an increase by getting knowledge. We got to get knowledge. It's got to start there, folks. It's got to start there. That's what we're doing tonight. Right? So what we do when on a Sunday morning and Sunday school and Sunday night and morning service and evening service, we come service after service after service. Man, we wear out this knowledge. Right? We get folk, we just come on back another service. We got some more knowledge. You say, man, I'm kind of sick of knowledge. Well, you know the kind of people that get sick of knowledge? The people that don't actually get knowledge. They're just getting a list of things, and they're listening, and they're trying to stay awake, right? And they're trying to not, you know, just be in their place. But I'm telling you, when we want to take it from knowledge to understanding, number three, then understanding can be established. In verse 3, it says this, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. See, the process of strength being increased, we see this process, but it doesn't come to fruition. Okay, we see the process is we get knowledge, and then we understand it, but it's not complete until it becomes wisdom, until we do something with it. So, four, the use of wisdom is where our strength is increased. In verse 5, he says, a wise man is what? Strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Wow. So look here. We see this process of what he's saying. We got to get some knowledge. We got to desire and do something to try to figure out how to understand it. By the way, sometimes to understand the knowledge takes some work. So it takes some time, some effort. So see, therefore, fainting in the midst of trouble should be an indicator to us that our faith isn't where God wants it to be. So I was going to say where it should be, and I was thinking about that. I don't know where it should be. But I'm going to tell you, if God is doing something in your life, putting a trial, putting this this situation in your life to reveal something to you, then God's saying for you, your faith isn't where God wants it to be in your life, and He wants to increase it in your life. Or maybe, can I say this? Maybe God says, you're ready. You're ready to take the next step of faith to grow. So I'm going to bring some adversity to your life. Number one, adversity is God's way of demonstrating to us what He already knows. What He already knows, and I've talked about that already. So number two, the question for you tonight is this. Will you respond to what God reveals to you? Or will you stand proud on your small strength? Now, here's what I'm saying. Like, that's kind of mean. You're saying, you know, we're proud. Here's what I'm saying. When God brings adversity to you, and God does something, and God shows you something about the weakness of your faith. Yeah, I should have. But, you know, I am this is all I'm going to be. Are we going to just say, I'm just going to stand where I'm at? Or are we going to say, God showed me this. I'm going to do something about it. I'm telling you, folks. If God shows us, if we don't try to bring it from knowledge to understanding to wisdom, we're going to be one that continues with small faith. And I'm telling you, it's not a pleasant Christian life. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? It's not a pleasant Christian life to try to live for God with little faith. It's just, it's like your dad owns the whole candy store, but all you ever get is a little bubble gum. No, all you get is one crank on the bubble gum machine. You got one. All that chocolate, all that other candy's up there. Like, no, that's all you got. I'm telling you, it's not pleasant because you know what you're going to watch other people do? They're going to have chocolate around their face drinking milkshakes. It's going to be a time. And you're like, why do they get it? Well, God's trying to do something with this. Respond to Him. Hey, let James chapter 1, verse 4 says this. But let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let me just close with this. Don't be satisfied with that little piece of bubble gum. Don't be satisfied with that. God's going to show you something. Respond to you. Father, I do pray that you'd help us, Lord. Lord, you bring these things to our life and you're so good to us. Your grace is so abounding. And Lord, that you don't just leave us in a corner, but you bring these things to our life. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one in here. Help us each, Lord, that as you bring these challenges, and Lord, every one of us here tonight are dealing with something. Every one of us. Lord, help us to see, Lord, that when we faint, when we draw back from continuing to follow you, continue to trust you, continue to be in our place, continue to be what you want us to be, that we would realize that it was our faith that was small, was weak, and the Lord, you're trying to help us. Lord, I pray that you would bless now, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.